Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
She's the first person and only person who would have thought of that.
She's the Robert Langdon of language.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
Everybody, welcome to the Sincast. We're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Today of The Arrival. Or just Arrival. Not The Arrival. That'd be the Charlie Sheen movie that came out.
We do not need to discuss.
That's right. That's right. Where you get to actually see Charlie Sheen become a Mexican for like 10 minutes.
Well,
it's actually worth watching. Yeah. But anyway, this is going to be the movie Arrival, not The Arrival. This is Chris Agnesen from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Yo.
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Hello.
And so Arrival this weekend made about $24 million. It was third place. Probably shot better than most expectations for this type of movie and everything. Overall, I think audiences, they gave it a B cinema score, which is usually low for a movie that's supposedly good, like, because people are in general, like, they love everything. So that B sounds great, but it's really like low projected. But I loved Arrival.
I absolutely fucking loved it.
Yes. Yep.
I wanted there to be more.
Yep.
And I think you were talking on Twitter about, like, all that night I was thinking about this goddamn movie and all the implications of, like, this is an alien arrives on Earth movie, but it's really not. It's really more about language and the differences in our languages and interpretations. And, you know, I'm going to do some spoiler free for a while.
Yeah, I'll do some spoiler free.
Definitely. Amy Adams is outstanding.
Yes. Yes.
I think plenty of actresses probably could have played this role, but you have to have somebody with that level of talent to carry a movie like this, because otherwise it's going to be boring.
Yeah.
Is there a bigger disparity in any year of acting between Batman versus Superman and Arrival in her performance?
I haven't thought about it that way, but I would say the chasm is wide.
She's not the problem with Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. She's not the answer though.
No, but she's not given anything to do.
Yeah.
Stand around and get kidnapped.
Yeah. I mean, she's providing for her family with that movie.
I thought you were going to say, is there any bigger chasm in acting performances between the two leads of this movie? Because Jeremy Renner's not bad.
Yeah.
And it's almost as though he's what Hollywood would do with women, right? He's just given a lot of reaction stuff to do, and she's driving everything.
He's given one moment in this.
Yeah.
That was the thing that it was very stark about this movie, was that, like, when he finally got to share some information that was useful in this, I was like, yay, go Jeremy Renner.
He also, though, when they break in the middle of the movie with his narration, and I guess he's giving a briefing to somebody, but they never show him doing it, and it's just kind of a little bit jarring. I mean, I love this movie, but that was just one thing I was like, really? Because it starts off with her narrating, which makes sense.
Well, one thing that bothered me was that story she tells about the word kangaroo, and this is not a spoiler, but that bothered me because she should have a story like that that's actually true.
Right.
She's that good of a linguist. She shouldn't have to, like, fake shit to get her smarts across.
Well, speaking of which, like, this movie, like most movies, I suppose, I mean, I'm not going to say anything's bad about this, but suggests that she's the only person in the world that can actually go and do all the stuff that she's doing. Like, she's the first person to think about writing it on a little, like, whiteboard or whatever and, like, showing it to the aliens and stuff. She's the first person and only person who would have thought of that.
She's the Robert Langdon of language.
Yeah, exactly. And so you know that, like, in a world of 7 billion people, there's going to be, you know, at least 35 who do what Amy Adams can do and maybe even better.
Well, I like how the movie even tosses out one of her competitors that they're going to go to after she turns him down, but she proves how much stupider that guy is than her by giving him a test. And for whatever reason, Forrest Whitaker gives that guy the test and then just trusts what she says is the right interpretation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, that was all for the audience to show how smart she was.
Yeah, and I that's a character that I could have done without. I love Forrest Whitaker, but I am really tired of this kind of guy that's in these movies.
He exists to make the engine run, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, we've only, you know, it's, everything's about time in this. You know, it's like, could you give me 20 minutes? We're going to leave in 10.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know,
well, I don't really understand that. How long were they at the site?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it seems like it could have been weeks or months, but he's always saying, like, oh, well, we're on a strict timeline. You got to get this done within the next
the timeline is some bullshit timeline that they figure that Russia and China and all these other countries that are, like, working with the other pods that are out there are going to, like, you know, go and engage in war immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, it's imminent or whatever. Yeah. So that's what the bullshit timeline is in this. But yeah, I mean, you can only do what you can do. You know, it's not, what is this whole, like, well, you know, you're going to have to translate this incredible alien language in 2 weeks or else we're done for.
Get it done.
That is a great part of this movie, though. When the aliens finally start sort of communicating and them trying to figure out what these symbols mean and all that, using our technology basically to just kind of be like, okay, where are all the patterns? And there's some really complex patterns in this thing with that. And it brings up all these different words and what the most likely word is and all that. I love all that stuff. It's very geeky type stuff.
Yeah, it's like, I remember when I don't know how old I was, but I remember the first time I learned that, like, Chinese writing symbols meant words and ideas as opposed to just being letters. And that kind of blew my mind as an ignorant American that, you know, every little symbol we draw is a single letter that's part of a larger word. This is like that on steroids in terms of how complex their language is and what those symbols. I mean, when you look at the end, she's got like thousands of points plotted on each one of these little things.
Yeah.
And she's measuring. And I was really fascinated by all that.
Yeah. And so this is a movie that sort of plays on expectations and stuff like that, because it goes in a certain direction where you're sitting there going, well, here's another sort of Gravity ripoff with this woman's character and everything, because she's mourning the loss of a child. And you're just sort of sitting there, okay, well, I guess they had to throw in something to make it more dramatic or whatever. So now here comes the spoilers part.
Yeah, spoilers. So, can't wait.
So did we talk non-spoilers enough?
Well, I mean, maybe let's do a couple more minutes on, because just in general, like, it's a smart movie.
Yes.
And I have a theory about why the audience score is a B, because it's not nearly a traditional alien arrival story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go in expecting explosions. Well, there's one explosion, but it's not like a battle or anything.
Yeah, but the movie's so quiet.
It is.
Almost uncomfortably quiet. I took my straw out of my drink.
I heard that.
Everybody in the theater could hear it.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, that's how my brother used to imitate the singer from the Cranberries. He would move his straw out of his drink.
Well, and we were in a theater too, where, and I'm just very aware of noises in general. Just every little thing just started bothering me,
like that motherfucker to my right who kept going,
yeah, kept snorting all
every 30
the way
seconds.
Through, and it's like, dude, do you not realize this? I mean, I know you may have some sniffles or something, but come on, man. And just like people eating in general bothers me too. Like,
I did think the score here was awesome.
Oh yeah,
like, totally creepy at the right times. It's moody and ethereal, but it there's not a lot of it. Like you said, there's so many quiet moments. And again, Amy Adams is great. Everybody else is fine. But the star of this movie is the idea of this movie, right? Mm-hmm. And the ideas this movie is presenting. So I don't know that the performances really, other than Amy Adams, really matter that much. But do we want to talk spoilers?
Yeah, definitely. Because here's the thing about this a movie like this. I don't think you can really delve into it without getting into the spoilers of this movie. So if you want to check off here and don't want to know all the secrets to this movie and everything, you know,
go see the movie.
Go see the movie and come back.
You should be going to see the movie right now.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser
Sose. Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
Never have I been so happy to have been fooled by a movie.
Yeah.
I bought that this was a gravity situation all the way until I was supposed to realize it wasn't. Mm-hmm. To the point where walking out, I even turned to you guys just to make sure that's the same kid, right?
Yeah.
And you guys were like, yeah. And I think even after that, I said, wow.
Yep.
Like, as we were walking outside, because it's so fucking deep when you realize that this kid hasn't existed and died in the past. She never had him yet. It's in the future.
It's sort of the lost flash forward type
really
of thing
is.
Where it comes in and you're just like, oh my God, all this I've been like the whole, like, you know, remember Lost, how it was always flashbacks.
Yeah.
And then finally in that one episode, it was like giving us. So we were like, oh, I didn't know that these characters knew each other back then and all that. And it's just going all the way through it. And then it's like at the end, you know, we got to go back, Kate, you know.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's the same sort of deal, because you're sitting there like there's even a part. It's a very subtle part that I just remembered in reflection when the doctor, the military doctor, goes, is anybody pregnant here?
Yeah.
And she goes, no. And it just something around about her face at that point. It's you project and you think, oh, she's remembering the point where she lost her baby or whatever, but she hasn't lost a baby yet. And it's a really interesting thing. I'm going to love watching this movie the second time through and seeing all the different like things that, you know, you didn't catch the first time. That's one small moment in there that I think is really good and effective. But this is a movie that plays with time, and it's a very interesting. I think we could debate about this for a while. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's an extremely satisfying, like, you know, it. They look at time as not linear and all this other type of stuff. She figures out what to do based on something she sees in the future.
Yeah.
My only problem with that is, doesn't there have to be some sort of key to her like learning it in the first place and then writing that book that she can see that in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you want to delve into time travel in a movie, you're going to have plenty of people who come out going, paradox, paradox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're that way, then you don't enjoy the first two Terminator movies.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do. I can overlook a time travel paradox in a movie as deep as this with this much to say, and I'm not even sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
What I was talking to my wife about the movie last night, and we kind of got to debating whether or not she even has a choice to marry Renner and have this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Is she sees the future, but can she change it? I'm not convinced she can.
When he says,
do you want to make a baby? And she says, yes. I almost feel like she's committing to the future she knows, not saying, I choose not to go a different route.
Mm-hmm.
This movie sets it up to where I don't think there's a limitation on free will. Like, it seems like the timeline's plotted. It's like a Billy Pilgrim situation from Slaughterhouse-Five, where you can become unstuck in time and go to different points on your timeline. But that's set.
Yeah.
And it's got to be. And my question about this, though, because I agree, like I'm willing to ignore the big picture, although it does get you thinking about that. And my God, at least a movie is making you think about these things. But she's so immersed in this language that she figures it out and she becomes aware of time in this context. But once she publishes all that stuff in the future, doesn't everybody have access to that knowledge? Does everybody...
Yeah, and I think that's the point.
The whole perspective?
I think that's the point. They're giving this gift to humanity of this quote-unquote weapon.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite parts of the movie is the idea that they might mean tool when they say weapon. And yeah, yeah. The whole interpretation of all that stuff. But they need help in 3,000 years. Mm. And maybe I even think help through the use of this time weapon. Mm. Because, yeah, they'll be able to see their own future now and see what they're going to help the heptapods with or whatever it is. So, yeah.
Imagine living in that society, though, where everybody has access to essentially time travel.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will
say... Personal time travel.
I felt like the movie gave us a moment where it just clicked for her.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe knowing academically what the aliens' language is about, you still can't just grasp it from reading a book. It probably has to be something you have to work at pretty hard.
Yeah, that's a great explanation because there's that whole talk about, like, if you're immersed in something, then your brain chemistry starts to change and that kind of thing.
There's a great dream sequence thing. Oh, and there was, God, like, where he's so... like, you know, are you starting to dream in their language? And she turns and sees the alien or whatever.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it is, because you could be aware that French exists or Portuguese or, you know, whatever in Zimbabwe or whatever, but you just don't know it and you can't process that unless you're immersed in it.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Maybe it's just that it comes in at the right time and she's been looking at this language as long as she has, and then they come in and they sort of fill in the gaps, basically. Maybe that's what the explanation is for all that.
It was almost a Neo moment for me, mm-hmm. where, like, Neo had to realize he was the one before he could be the one. And once it clicked, he was definitely the one. I think it's a lot like that for her.
Mm-hmm.
She had to have a realization moment that I just need to steep myself in it. I don't know. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
There was a funny moment in there too, where her daughter is like asking what the, you know, both sides need, you know, or have a good deal or whatever. Uh-huh. And she's sitting there thinking of it. And finally she's like, a non-zero sum game or whatever. And the daughter's like, oh yeah, that's it. Thanks. They had just had this big, like, she was disappointed that she didn't know the answer and all this other type of stuff. And then and there's that great line too, like, you need to ask your father. He's the science guy. It's another great little, you know, sort of nudge. But oh yeah, that's it. Thanks.
I read today an interview with the director who talked about a scene they cut where the flashback was her teenage daughter hadn't done her homework and she's trying to go out to party with friends, and Amy Adams grounds her, and the teen girl yells, "You're ruining my life." And apparently Amy Adams' facial expression was too good,
mm-hmm.
and was too knowing, and he realized this gives away the whole thing. And that moment came in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
So they had to cut. You read the same article.
Yeah.
I just thought that was fascinating. I want to see that on the deleted scenes.
No, yeah. And this is a movie that really sort of depends on you not guessing that thing. It is, like I said, it plays on your expectations so much about, like, oh, you know, that the thing about loss in movies is, like, it's always something that's been in the past, and it's always a thing that drives a character. And in this case, you know, it's making you think that to punch you.
Well, they did such a good job. That opening montage is almost Up-like, right? Or J.J. Abrams and you know, some of the montages like that he did on Alias or the Star Trek movies. I bought it hook, line, and sink. I had emotions within 3 minutes of that scene. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
They give you all the information right there, basically. Visually. You know, visually, and then when she starts saying, like, you know, it's hard to determine when an episode begins or ends or that kind of thing.
Right, right.
This is, to me, like The Sixth Sense was in the fact that it gives you a whammy ending, but it doesn't spoil subsequent viewings.
Right.
I think
you're
right. In
fact, it makes you, like you said, want to watch it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a movie that even if they had this surprise in mind, they gave you so much meat, leading up to that point. And when she is figuring it out and she's like, you know, going through all the future stuff and everything, it's thrilling because there's a moment where she's behind closed doors and the military is about to shoot her because she's done some stuff and she's got to remember something from the future to kind of like, you know, get it all the way back for her and everything. And it's a really awesome, like, little time sequencing type of thing going on in that movie. And just thrilling, especially here's a part in the movie that I found fascinating. Is them going up into the ship for the first time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
they get in this, like, you know, like forklift thing or whatever the hell those things are. Those, you know.
Like a cherry picker.
Yeah, yeah, one of those type of things. Which I was sitting there going, how big is this thing? It's like keeps going up and up and up. But gravity is, like, completely different when they go up into it. And they have to, like, rewire their brain to be like, okay, I can jump up and land on my side on this thing. And, like, every up and down and left and right is no longer a thing
anymore.
Yeah,
they had that great moment where he drops a pencil or something like that and it goes sideways.
Yeah.
Just like, your whole perspective changes.
I was half expecting them to do a Castaway moment. You remember, like, how Tom Hanks, like, struggles fishing for the longest time. And like, towards the end, he's just throwing spears from the rock and is, like, able to get them, like, 20 feet away and all that. I was almost expecting a moment there where they, like, get up in the forklift and they're already just, you know,
doing like cartwheels and shit.
Yeah, doing cartwheels and stuff.
This is a very Nolan-esque movie, is it not?
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan could have made this movie. It would have been different in places, but in terms of how high the concept is to start, like, those are the kind of movies Nolan, other than the Batman films, every single one of his movies has some super high concept that on paper doesn't sound like it'll translate well into a movie, but it does. But this is Villanueva, who did Prisoners and Sicario. And those are the only two I've seen. There's a one word titled one.
There's an Incendies, and then there's one other one that I can't remember.
Starts with an E. Enemy.
Yeah, that's what it is. But yeah.
This guy might have a bright future.
I think so. Even a movie like Prisoners, which is really like a B movie type of, you know, film or whatever, is really good. It's like elevated, you know, above most of those type of movies and everything. And he was already like sort of a one to watch kind of guy when he made that. And I'm glad that he's going this route. Like, it doesn't seem like he's on his way to making a Star Wars all of a sudden or whatever. Yeah. Like, I want him to do his thing. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's one of these guys that I think, like, in a few years, we're going to look at him like Paul Thomas Anderson or, you know, who's the guy who did Whiplash and is like La La
Land? Damien Chazelle.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. These two guys are about to, I think, make the movies that we really care about.
Both of them take their time. Mm-hmm. Like, this movie doesn't feel rushed at all, even though it's under 2 hours.
It's just under 2 hours, yeah.
And like you said, man, I could have gone for another 15, 20 minutes on this movie, because it's, even after the reveal, because it's just so fascinating to think about that universe, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, again, going back to the debate I had with my wife, if you choose to believe that her future is set, that's one thing. If you choose the other thing, then what does her choice mean there at the end? Is she choosing the joy and love of whatever years she knows she's going to get with this husband and this daughter, despite the grief she knows is coming, which is sort of how I would interpret it, if you do view that as her having a choice.
That's the weird thing to me, because the big thing that differs, or one of the big things that differs in the short story that this came from, is the kid dies in a climbing accident rather than suffers with this cancer or whatever it is. And so to me, this is getting into my interpretation of her choice. Why would you put your kid through, like, that pain at the end? Like, if it's sudden, like a climbing accident or something like that, you could kind of understand it. But I don't know, man. Like, that's it fucked with me because she says, well, this outweighs, it's almost a selfish decision.
Isn't this, though, this is, okay, there's two things in play here. First off, I think the conscious decision not to procreate or whatever in this situation, I think it's more about everybody's life is like worth something, you know, like I don't want to try to get into this, you know, get into the,
that's what this movie does to you.
I don't want to get into the political, like that is not a political statement that I'm making here. But I believe that if she doesn't go through with it, then she's changed things in it. Like she may not even be able to figure this out. Like the way they presented this.
Yeah.
If she doesn't go through with all this, the key to her remembering all this stuff is that she remembers a daughter for whatever reason. So if she decides not to, doesn't she then create this like a super paradox that we're talking about here?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the whole Terminator thing. What if, does John Connor decide not to send Kyle Reese back? What if he doesn't, you know, he fails to exist.
It was those flashbacks she was having on and off while on site that eventually gets her to the realization that she can see through time. So if she doesn't have those, would she even be able to save the day at the end of this movie?
That's correct.
I also love that there's like a mini fake out reveal before the reveal is all the way done, where they pan across and show that the kid has made clay Play-Doh things that look like the aliens.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, that kid predicted this. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. That movie just drops bombs on you. Like you're sitting there going, everything just repositions itself. Yeah. You know, after that, it's just so amazing. And so exciting. You know, you don't see movies like this a lot. And even if this movie somehow, I mean, they bought this for a song, I believe. It wasn't really expensive to make this movie. So it should do well as far as being profitable and everything. But even if it doesn't, it's not a big hit. I feel like this is a movie that's going to be found.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something that, you know, 5 years from now, somebody's like, I didn't want to watch that movie. It looks stupid, blah, blah, blah. And I heard from my friends it was stupid. All those people are going to be turned around by like 5 years or so.
Is this an Oscar contender?
Oh, man.
It will be.
It should be.
So. It should be.
Yeah, it should be. I feel like it's a dark horse right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it had been like gangbusters, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's just on the fringe of being like just a modest hit. And usually, you know, they don't go for those types of
movies. She'll get nominated, I bet.
Well, especially considering the category of best actress and best supporting actress is usually thin anyway because they hardly ever give good roles to women.
Right.
She has to, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's going to be her, and you probably think Emma Stone might be in that conversation. We haven't seen La La Land yet, but
it's starting to feel like we don't need to know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
That trailer came on when we were watching,
and when it
got done, I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
And then we saw that trailer for the new M. Night movie that made Barrett really angry.
Oh, my God.
Because there's that, what was that line? That when you have that many personalities,
it changes your physical chemistry.
Yeah.
And you see him like all jerking on in the shadow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
although I like the premise though, because it, you know, they have to find the right one, the right character to talk to try to get out and everything. I feel like that might be, and it's not, that's what M. Night Shyamalan's doing nowadays is these smaller movies, and like he's not trying to make a big huge thing anymore, so I might dig it, you know.
But man, if he had continued on the path after Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, I could see him making a movie like Arrival.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like a twist ending that doesn't feel like it's there for the sake of it, but that everything added to it existing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What else do we have to say, boys?
You mentioned the score, man. That beginning and the end, it bookends itself with that lone violin coming in.
It's actually, I don't think that's score. I think that's pre-existing music that they used, but you're right. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous.
I saw on Reddit somebody was saying, oh, that's so-and-so's song, such-and-such.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's a famous violinist or something.
Oh, cool.
But it was perfect, I thought.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's another movie that looks great, too. It's the actual, like, interactions they have with these aliens, there's a lot of, like great wonder to it and everything. We're not seeing their full bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeing tentacles.
Yeah.
And, but, like, when you first see their little tentacles splay up against the glass and all that,
yeah.
Everything looks so cool. It's all foggy and bright and all this other type of stuff. And like
that fucking inky smoke lettering that they make.
Yeah.
Is mesmerizing.
Yeah.
And they zoom
really
right
is.
In on it, too. Yeah. To
and,
see
it's,
it. Oh.
And it's suspenseful, even though you have no clue what that's going to say once it comes up on the screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, what is it going to say? What is it going to say? Oh, I don't know what that means. Does Amy Adams know what that means? I hope she knows what that means. But, you know, this is. I guess this could also be compared a little bit to Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
The difference, I guess, between those two movies is the whole, like, Close Encounters, the whole movie is about trying to get to the place where the aliens are going to be. And then, you know, simple communication with the, like, you know, keyboard and all that other type of stuff. And trying to, you know, it's really just the first, the beginnings of first contact and everything. This movie basically is the second part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like goes right to where Close Encounters left off and everything. We were like obsessed with UFOs and stuff in Close Encounters. Now we're like, okay, we've seen the UFOs.
Yeah, that's the really cool part is that they almost like yada yada the Arrival.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where it's like we hear about it through TV and the group of students on the campus and everything. But you don't see like this crazy entrance and all that stuff.
Right.
That's another great thing I think about this movie. This is Amy Adams' movie, and this is her perspective. So we're not going to see all of that nonsense, which it would have been, coming down.
How nerdy is she that she goes back to class the next day? Like anyone's going to show up?
Yeah.
She's sitting looking at that empty classroom and like, this is your own fault. Nobody, you should not have come down here.
Yeah, yeah. I guess overall. Resounding yes.
This is my favorite movie of the year.
Easily.
So
easily.
It's my favorite year of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, this is easily, thank God I can finally replace, I love Deadpool, but I don't like saying Deadpool's my favorite movie of any year.
Yeah.
But I love now I have something to replace it with. And we've got some good stuff coming up here. We've got La La Land. We've got that Ben Affleck movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's Live by Night or Live by Night because I've never heard it pronounced. But it's a gangster movie from one of my favorite directors. That is, I had a chuckle when they showed the release dates on that trailer because it's like opening limited December 20 something and then opening wide in January.
Yeah. Of course,
we want this to get awards consideration.
Yeah.
That's it. And so when we discuss that movie, we might have to put it in 2017's year.
Yeah,
another Dennis Lehane novel for Ben Affleck there.
That guy, I got to start reading his books because a lot of them have turned into excellent movies.
He's a great writer.
Gone Baby Gone was one of his.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
He did Mystic River.
Mystic River.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff and we still haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge. I'm pretty sure that's probably very good too. But yeah, we're about to get into some really good stuff.
Yeah,
and
finally.
I can't. Yeah, it's like they just like waited until November and December to start giving us real.
Who would have guessed that we would be more excited about like high art films this December than like Rogue One, A Star Wars Story?
Yeah.
And I'm still excited about that. I'll go see it.
I'm even more excited about that Passengers movie than I am Rogue
that
One.
That trailer is so good.
Yeah.
Like, I can't comprehend what's happening.
Yeah.
I get the vibe. I love both of those actors. I love the concept of two people wake up like 90 years early from cryo sleep. And I'm sure we're going to see some like David from Prometheus hijinks of them like running around doing silly shit.
Yeah.
Although, I am geeked for that movie.
That trailer hits every cliche that you could possibly imagine. It's like, do you trust me? And I need you to come see something right now.
Yeah, I can tell you this right now. I'm just this is like my like Island and Logan's Run type of thing. I'm like there. You gave me that concept. I'm there. I'm like way in on that movie.
Yeah, me too.
It helps that the ones that wake up early happen to be the most attractive
people.
Yeah.
Although you could argue they're sending like the best looking, highest genetically modified whatever's on this mission. Maybe they're all super hot, but it would suck if like she woke up and instead of Chris Pratt, she got like Danny DeVito.
Well, like the reveal will be there that all the other people who are sleeping are all Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
You might be right.
Yeah, I could be if I am.
We got to procreate to save the human race.
Yes.
That's my DeVito.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a pretty good DeVito.
Yeah.
I would give Arrival a solid A.
Absolutely.
Easy.
I really think you should all go watch it and encourage this guy to make more movies that stretch the bounds of what we expect.
Yeah, I agree. If we can get this one to be a hit, basically we get to see more of this over and over and over again, and I'm all about it. So
it's a relief. We paid our dues this summer, I think.
Yeah,
we sure did. It was a shit year. We're gonna look back. I'm predicting 2016 is worse than 2005.
Not a surprise, because 2016 is generally overall a horrible year anyway.
It's true.
Aside from the Cubs winning.
Exactly. That was the karmic trade-off.
Yeah.
Did you see John Oliver had an epic send-off for the 2006?
I saw that. And I was like, yep, that's about right. It's just been a horrible year for everything. But that's it. You got to go see The Arrival, and you've got to, tell your friends. So that'll be the mini-pod.
Mini-pod.
For this week, we may be doing Fantastic Beasts, but we're not sure yet. So that's what I'm hoping.
I'm glad that they already are planning on making 5 of those fucking things.
Yeah,
man, you gotta milk the cow, man.
I read this quote from J.K. Rowling. She's like, as we dove into breaking the story down, we realized this couldn't be told in 2, and it naturally worked out to 5.
Right.
Naturally, after the money was deposited.
Yeah. I only have $1 billion in the bank.
Seriously.
So I need to get another billion.
Mm-hmm.
But we may be doing that. We don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll be the mini pod for this week. Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Shearer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
I think they speak Swahili.
Thank you.
I know an entire Christian rock song in Swahili.
So do I.
You know the same song as me, probably.
Osifuni Mungu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we talked about this before?
Yes, you were very drunk.
Oh. Chicago, right?
No, it was in Atlanta.
Oh. All right. Is the Kroger brand of vitamin water as tasty?
It tastes like NyQuil without like the hypnotic effect.
So no, it's awful. All right. I'm going to stick with the brand name, though.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
It's got electrolytes.
I did not know the girl from It Follows was in Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah.
And I knew I recognized who I was seeing, and I knew it wasn't Brie Larson.
Yeah.
But I had to go to IMDb to
she's got
be
that
reminded.
Same kind of look as Brie Larson. But like that was one of the things about Independence Day, Independence Day 2 was that they were like, they replaced Mae Whitman with her.
Yeah.
Like, basically.
Mae Whitman is still acting.
Yeah. It's like we need somebody really, really attractive for this.
Did you see the Beauty and the Beast trailer?
No, I actively avoided it because all I read was that it looks like a shot-for-shot remake.
It looks like a shot-for-shot remake.
That is wholly even more unnecessary. Pointless.
It even has the music.
Yeah.
It has the Be Our Guest playing in the background.
Yeah. Like, what's awesome. The fucking point?
Yeah.
Like, she just literally, like, happens to be, you know, in his castle, and suddenly, like, you know, she'll fall madly in love with him because that's what women do, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you confine them and treat them like shit, then
they
will love you.
Yep. Nail them while they're vulnerable.